Daddy's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why. I don't like Monday.
Tell me why. Hey, everybody, Jonathan Scott, Vegas, nonstop. Happy Monday to you. Is it hot enough out there for you? Geez, talk about being able to fry an egg on the street. You can fry an egg in the sidewalk, and you can fry it on the shade. Anyway, joining us, as always, for the last 300 years, my sidekick, Jeffrey with a G, Jeffrey Kramer.
Johnny, what's going on, buddy?
Trying to recover from the weekend. I need to rest for my
weekend. You had a good
weekend,
right?
I had a great weekend and a phenomenal weekend.
You went to a wild concert. You had a great Father's Day. I mean, you had a pretty good weekend.
I had a strong weekend. We'll talk about it in a second. Also joining us in studio, Josh Towers, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Josh, thanks for coming into the studio.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get out of the heat, isn't it?
You know what? I'll tell you, I like this stuff. People call me crazy. I like this.
You're crazy. Yeah. Call me crazy.
He's a baseball pitcher. He's used to this weather.
Yeah, I prefer this, man.
What's the hottest you ever pitched in? Do you remember?
I remember like Baltimore being 110 and the humidity being like 100%. Man, I mean, it's just great. You're sweating when you walk outside, but I tell you what, it's easy to play in.
And people easy to warm up in.
Yeah, for sure.
As a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize it's usually hotter on the field than it is in the stands.
Yeah, it's scorching, but I mean, it is what it is. You get used to it. It's just... Yep. What are we going to do? Complain about what we live in?
We're going to get to a lot of baseball. We're going to talk about what we did over the weekend, what's going on during the week, how to stay cool. But joining us first on the phone, boxing analyst, part-time singer, please say hello to our friend Al Bernstein. Al, are you with us?
Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day and getting out of the heat, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It is true about the egg frying thing. We've been driving around all day at this time. My wife says doctor's appointments, and it is just, we know it's going to happen every year this time of year, but still, you need to acclimate a little bit.
You can never be really quite ready for it. But before we get into boxing and UFC and everything we want to talk to you about that side, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about your singing career. In a little bit of research, I found out that you had a record at one point. You've written a book. You've got all kinds of stuff. But right now, you're singing.
I'm back to doing some music, which I used to do a lot in town here before the big fights in the 80s. First one was the Hagler-Leonard fight. I did three nights at Caesar's Palace. And then throughout the 80s with fights of the big, the great four fighters, Hagler, Burns, Leonard, and Duran. Before a lot of those fights, I would do a music show. And I kind of got away from it a little bit the last 5 or 6 or 7 years doing like some other things. And then I said, yeah, why not? So I've been doing it. And this past weekend, I did a co-hosting with my friend Kenny Davidson over at the Tuscany Casino.
Kenny used to be on with us all the time in his bow tie cabaret. Bow tie, is that what he calls it, bow tie cabaret?
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. He's a great guy, and he has a co-host every Friday, and so you get to do a bunch of tunes, and that's what I did. So it was a lot of fun.
And also our friend Dennis Blair, who's on with us all the time, brilliant, brilliant comedian. And last night I wound up watching Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield that Dennis co-wrote with Rodney.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched it last night. Yeah, I watched it last night.
Dennis is brilliant. And, he's one of those Renaissance men who, here he is playing bass, right, and performing there. We know he's a great comedian, a great writer, an excellent singer. I mean, he just has a plethora of skills.
If you can use the word plethora on the air, that would be true. But I think Peggy is really the brains of the operation. What I didn't know, and I did a little bit of research. People don't know that I do a little bit of research, but I do. Is that you're a Chicago guy and you work for the Lerner newspapers?
I did. I started out my career as a newspaper man. I worked in hard news through the 70s, and I was a managing editor of Lerner newspapers, which was a community newspaper in Chicago. For those that don't know. And I was on a kind of a different track toward, in the news business. But I really wanted to do sports. That was all I really wanted to do. But I kept moving forward in hard news. And then finally, I just decided one day I didn't want to do it anymore. And I started freelancing doing sports. And ultimately, around 1980, I'd written a book on boxing, and I got on with ESPN.
30 Years, 30 Undeniable Truths. Was that the name of the book?
Yeah, correct, yes. Well, the first book was a different book. Then that was the most recent one. That was one I just wrote about 4 years ago.
So I went on YouTube and I heard you doing Desperado, which I thought was kind of funny. But you do some of my favorite songs, some of the standards that you do, The Nearness of You, some really classic Great American Songbook songs. So do you have another singing date coming up?
Not yet. No, I'm working on some things, and I'll probably be doing something in the next couple of months. But I've got such a crazy schedule with the boxing on Showtime. Last 6 weeks, I've been in three different countries. I've been on the East Coast three times. So ultimately, I've logged like 8 zillion miles, frequent flyer miles. So I'm kind of going to retool a little bit and pick up some stuff.
There's just a little bit of Desperado. Bobby's got it on the board.
For so long now you're a hard one. I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you will hurt you somehow.
All right, that's Desperado. Al Bernstein doing Desperado by the Eagles. And without the crowd. And yeah, there's the crowd cheering you on. In 1980, Al Bernstein joined ESPN as boxing analyst for the top-ranked boxing series. Stayed at ESPN until 2003. During that time, also worked as a reporter for SportsCenter, covering major league boxing matches, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL draft. I'm going to turn you over to Jeffrey with a G, who probably... No? Nothing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about what's going on now with boxing.
I would love to say hi to Al.
Say hi to Al.
Al, what's happening? Jeffrey with a G here. How are you?
It's good to be with you.
Listen, obviously we have a couple of very high-profile fights coming to Las Vegas in the next few months. The first one, I don't know if I would call it a boxing match. However, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Mayweather-McGregor fight coming up in August.
Well, I'll be announcing it, so I will be front and center for that.
Do you know if you're going to be at T-Mobile or not?
It'll be on Showtime pay-per-view, and obviously it's a kind of a one-off event it really is happening because people want it to happen. I know there's frequently debate about whether it's appropriate or whether a mixed martial artist could possibly come into the sport of boxing and be effective. But at the end of the day, people want to see this, and that's why it's happening. And it will be a boxing match. It's not going to be fought under mixed martial arts rules. And Floyd Mayweather is coming back after a 2-year layoff at age 40, which is probably one of the things that may give this fight some intrigue. And the fight's been fought at 154 pounds, which is one of the concessions McGregor needed to get to make this fight happen. But it is a boxing match, and McGregor has never had one. So it'll be intriguing.
I think most experts like you feel that technically this isn't even a match. Floyd should absolutely tear him apart, certainly on points, and can avoid him being as defensively equipped as he is probably the best elusive fighter of our generation. But can McGregor even come close to catching him with any sort of lightning in a bottle with one of his punches?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. Clearly, you mentioned Floyd Mayweather's defensive skills. It's, he's superior. Yes, he's 40. Yes, he's coming off a 2-year layoff. How much will that impact him in terms of his ability to move and be evasive? McGregor is, McGregor, and most MMA fans will probably agree with this, he isn't a super active striker. Like, he doesn't, he's not super aggressive in the way he attacks you. He likes to counterpunch a little bit more. And so the question is going to be also, even stylistically, the people that have been successful against Mayweather, people like Jose Luis Castillo, who actually I think beat him early in his career, even though he didn't get the decision, and Marcos Maidana, who in their first fight, I thought it was a draw, but Mayweather got the decision. Those two people were aggressive, volume-punching fighters. I don't know if McGregor is that exactly. Now, maybe he isn't boxing. We don't know what he's like as a boxer.
Absolutely understand. Let's move on to what most boxing fans are going to call the most anticipated fight that we've all been waiting for, including myself. And that'll be in September when Triple G fights Canelo.
I'm excited about both these fights.
I don't
really am.
Listen, I think from an entertainment standpoint, you have to be excited about watching McGregor get in the ring with Floyd.
No question about it. And just as a fan of both boxing and UFC, I'm excited about it. I don't think, and Al, you tell me what you think from your expert opinion if you want to give it to us. I don't think Conor's going to be able to hit him. I mean, I really don't. He takes his one shots. He's great in the UFC. We know how good he is.
Professional boxers can't hit him.
That's what I'm saying. The best in the world have a hard time hitting this man.
Live at MGM.
And I still want to see it. I love it.
He's like Plastic Man. He can have a dude stand as close as I am to you and just avoid him unbelievably. So
he's got a gift.
Even at 40.
We just have to appreciate.
I don't remember Plastic Man.
there's a pop culture reference for it.
Right?
That's the issue, you know, and people are fascinated by it, and the spectacle of the event will be, pretty amazing, and that's what everyone's wondering.
The what-if factor? What if he lands? Because we've seen Floyd get touched up early in fights, and then he just rebounds.
The misnomer here would be that if Conor McGregor lands something, he'll automatically hurt Mayweather.
He thinks he will, so I guess that's what we're putting into.
The gloves are bigger than he's used to. So, and also, Mayweather has shown us, Shane mostly hit him with a monstrous punch. He was hurt, but he got through it. He's taken punches from big punchers when they have been able to hit him.
Yeah.
But McGregor may be the difference maker in that regard. And again, Mayweather is 40, and he is coming off a 2-year layoff. So we'll see.
So what about the fight that was over the weekend? You know, I read in the paper about the refs, and, you know, it was a rematch.
Low blow.
Yeah, the low blow.
The fight itself up to that point was a very close fight. I had Kovalev up by 1 point. You can make the case that two of the judges had Ward up by 1 point. I thought it was a very close fight. And Ward had not as much as I thought he did in the first fight, but he had invested in body work. A couple of those had strayed a little low, and then that led to the in the final round. Ward hurt him with a very big right hand. I think he had Kovalev in a lot of trouble, regardless of the low blows. But there's very little doubt in my mind that the last punch or two were both landed below the belt line. Now the question, I guess, is, and I think Ward was on his way to winning the fight and probably would have won it. The next round or that round, there was still time left in it. Here's the big issue, and this is the question. So that fight was stopped at the point of two, what I saw was one, maybe two illegal blows landed. I don't know if it's appropriate to stop a fight based on a low blow. Cole was in trouble, make no mistake about that. But that one low blow that was landed right at the end, I think kind of finished the case. And it was, to be perfectly candid, it was well within eyeshot of Tony Weeks. So either he didn't see it or maybe he didn't think it was low. Later, it was proven that, to my satisfaction anyway, it was a little low. Now, we can debate all night long as to how much it hurt Kovalev or didn't hurt him and whether Kovalev would have lost very shortly after that, which I think he probably would have. But you can make the case that instead of calling it a TKO at that point and stopping the fight, you can make the case that Tony Weeks could have actually deducted a point from Ward, stopped the action, given him 5 minutes, and then continued the action. That's another approach that could have happened. And some would say, well, look what that would do, give Kovalev a chance to recoup and all the rest. I'm not saying one way or the other. It was a very borderline, very close deal. I'm saying that's a possibility. And what's happened is, that has tarnished the win of Andre Ward to some degree.
What happens if they take a break because of the low blow, give him 5 minutes, and he can't continue?
Then it would be a technical decision, and they would. I believe they would go. If it was ruled an intentional foul, they could disqualify Ward, or they could make it a technical, a no contest technical decision.
I think that's probably why they're suing now, right? What are they doing?
Yeah,
they got
trying to
going
appeal
on.
It or something.
Yeah.
Al, real quickly, I know we don't have you all day. I would love your thoughts on the September fight between Triple G and Canelo, and how do you feel that's going to play out, given the age difference and where they are in each of their careers?
Yeah, like all boxing fans, I'm happy that was made. Boxing's had a fantastic year in 2017. The best year it's had since 2013, and that year, 2013, was the best boxing we've had in 25 years. So or 20 years. So it's been a terrific year, and that fight will further add to that. I think it's a fascinating fight. You know, Daniel Jacobs, who I was just with a week or so ago at the Boxing Hall of Fame, gave Gennady Golovkin a very good fight because he was able to, and it was a razor-thin fight that could have gone either way. Daniel Jacobs was able to move and box and do the things that have traditionally given Golovkin a little bit of problems, and he gave him more than a little bit. The difference in his fight, and it's one that I think is central, is that Triple G, though he's been, or Robin, that Canelo, though he's been fighting exceptionally well in his last couple of fights, he does not move. He is not a mover. He does not have a lot of foot speed. He has hand speed. He can put combinations together. But he doesn't move, so he'll be in the pocket fighting Golovkin. This is good news for boxing fans. Whether it's good news for Canelo will remain to be seen, because Canelo will be there to hit Golovkin, but he'll also be there to get hit. And nobody, it's been my general opinion that nobody standing in the pocket with Golovkin will beat him, because Golovkin has a monster chin and a lot of power. And in Canelo's case, he's coming up in weight. He's not a 260-pounder to speak of. But if Canelo can hurt Golovkin, and we've seen a slight diminution in Golovkin's skills. So I think it's going to be a terrific fight.
Al, Jonathan here. One last question is, I hear a lot of guys that are boxing fans say, where are all the heavyweights? How come we haven't had really
good... Well, there are heavyweights.
We have the big guy now out of London.
We just had one of the great heavyweight fights of the last 20 years. Vladimir Klitschko against
and
Anthony
Josh.
Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua.
It was wildly exciting. And Anthony Joshua is...
real deal.
Amazing. He proved his mettle in that fight, hurt by Klitschko.
Yeah.
It was the most exciting fight Klitschko's been in years since his Stan Peters fight. And Anthony Joshua is a handful. And the fact that he showed he could get up from that, being knocked hurt, down and hurt, and come back from literally what looked like the end of the fight in the sixth round after he was so tired... is really amazing. And then, of course, Deontay Wilder, the American who has one of their titles, who's an American, he and Joshua look like they're headed for a showdown next year. So that should put some life into the heavyweight division. Anthony Joshua, of course, is from Great Britain.
One quick question before we let you go. Give us a prediction on the Triple G Canelo fight. How do you see it playing out?
I lean to Golovkin, but it's I think Canelo has a chance to win the fight. But because of the way the styles of the two fighters, I think Golovkin could win. And I think it's going to be a tremendous fight. I think it's going to be a big shootout. And along with the Adrian Broner-Mikey Garcia fight, which we're going to have on July 29th, it's one of the fights in the next couple of months I'm looking forward to the most.
That, again, Al Bernstein, thank you very much. Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame member, announcer, author, singer. Al, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for your
Al.
Time. We look forward to having you in the studio one more time.
Good to be with you guys.
Thank you, guys. Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop. You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. We're going to take our first commercial message and come on back with Josh Towers. Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. If you're near a computer, you can watch us live at Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Scott LV. I want to welcome our new sponsors, Windows Plus. Summer is definitely here, and you might be thinking about new windows and glass doors if they haven't cracked and blown out by now. To insulate your home or business, save money on energy, Windows Plus has the newest technology to make your home cleaner, quieter, and look fantastic. For a free estimate, visit Windows Plus 5225 South Valley View at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. You can give Windows Plus a call at 702-450-2275. That's 450-2275. Windows Plus. Also, New York's original Papaya King. Two convenient locations serving great New York-style hot dogs, refreshing drinks, located on Paradise across from the Hard Rock Hotel and in the Hawaiian Market Village on Las Vegas Boulevard. Mention Vegas Nonstop and get two hot dogs for the price of one. That's two hot dogs for the price of one. Papaya King, a tropical oasis in a concrete jungle.
Ooh.
Freight Connections, offering $50 off your shipment when you mention Vegas Nonstop. For all of your large freight shipping, call Freight Connection at 310-375-7366. That's 310-375-7366. Freight Connection, $50 off on your shipment. And that's it for the new sponsor plugs. We want to welcome, we've already been talking to him, Joshua Eric Towers, born February 26, 1977, former right-handed Major League Baseball pitcher. Correct. This is off Wikipedia, which is never right. So okay. So if anything's wrong,
can't
stop
we go
me.
And edit Wikipedia.
Yeah, right. I think you can.
You're in Wikipedia. Yeah, you could. You have to have somebody else do it, I think. Baltimore Orioles, Toronto Blue Jays, Colorado Rockies, Washington Nationals, New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Give it
to I can't
me.
Say this next one.
Guerreros de Oaxaca.
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 Like the cheese.
Don't even say the last
like
one.
Something
it's
that's stuck
it.
In my throat. A Oaxaca. Camden River Sharks. Mm. Baltimore Orioles. Towers was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles in the 15th round of the 96 Major League Baseball draft. 2001, Josh made his Major League debut with the Toronto Blue Jays. Josh signed with the Blue Jays as a minor league free agent for the 2003 season. Midway through the season, would go on to a very successful run, appearing in 14 games, 8 starts, would finish the year 8-1.
I got the pitch behind Roy Halladay that year. He won the Cy Young, so he did me a favor.
Pretty cool,
sweet.
Right?
Yeah.
We finished the year 8-1. Usually, while the Blue Jays Towers was assigned the uniform number 7. This made him the only pitcher in the major leagues with a single-digit uniform number at the time, and also first pitcher in Blue Jays history whose uniform number contained but a single digit. Why?
When I got called up by the Blue Jays, we were in New York playing the Yankees, and the only number he had in the box was 7. And he said, when you get back to Toronto, we can switch it. And I said, nope. I said, we're at Yankee Stadium, man, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Wore that number. I'm good. I'm keeping it. And he goes, all right, fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
2005, Josh finished the season with 13 wins, tied for the club lead, along with rookie Gustavo Chacin. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Chacin.
He went on to play for Colorado, right?
Yeah, he bounced around a little bit after that. He was good, man.
He had filthy stuff.
Yeah, he was.
Josh set career best with 3.71 ERA, 33 games started, and 28.2 innings pitched. Having been signed to a 2-year, lots of money contract during the offseason as a reward for the impressive 2005 year, Josh started the new season 0-7 with an ERA. Wow, I shouldn't have been reading that. On May 14th, let's scratch that off the Wikipedia.
Hey, come on, man.
That comes with the good, I promise you.
There's one thing I'm going to get out of here that's going to be funny, for me anyway. Towers pitched a good game against Tampa Bay Devils, throwing 8 innings, allowing just 2 earned runs, leading Jays to an 8-3 victory. Josh decided to train with teammate, fellow Las Vegas offseason resident Reed Johnson. Yeah,
man, that's still on there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Towers, along with John Thompson, Tomo Aka, Victor Zambrano, Cubs, was one of the leading contenders to land one of the 2 open spots Blue Jays were during a game against the New York Yankees. You know this is going to be on there. August 7, 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Towers intentionally hit Alex Rodriguez with a pitch. Yes? No? Can't say? It's
yeah,
a long
no,
time
no,
ago.
It's past time. I hit him
Where'd
for sure.
Yeah, I hit him for sure.
I hit him in his knee, actually. Yeah, and as crazy as it sounds, that's actually where I was going.
Was this a retaliation pitch?
Yeah, man, it's a long story, but my buddy Brian, who pitches in Japan, he was making his major league debut in Toronto, and there's a guy, Alex was on first, and the guy hitting, and he hits a pop-up to Howie Clark playing short, Howie's at third, John McDonald's at shortstop. 2 outs, Alex runs behind Howie, who's camped underneath the ball.
Oh, he made a comment.
He goes, mine.
Yep.
So Howie thinks that John McDonald calls him off, the shortstop behind him.
The ball drops.
Obviously, so he gets out of the way, the ball drops. Everybody jumps Alex, and Johnny Mac goes, Alex, what's up, man? Other words. And he goes, who the are you?
Yeah.
I just kind of belittled him. And Matt Stairs wanted to murder him.
Classic A-Rod.
And started a couple
classic
fights. And it just carried over, man. It just carried over. Major League Baseball, they always get involved the wrong way, and they're doing it again this year. They did with Boston and Baltimore. They completely screwed up, and they got involved the wrong way. Instead of letting us just get it over with, I pitched against them the next start, and instead of letting me hit them, I was in the bullpen. They called down and said, you can't hit them. They told me, John Gibbons goes,
so what'd you do?
He goes, we're getting fined and we're both getting suspended, my manager. And I said, Gibby, come on, man, you know. And he goes, Josh. So I was walking back across the field.
I love the story.
I looked at Matt Stairs and I go, Matt, he ain't even gonna let me hit him. And he goes, then don't. And I love Matt Stairs. He's the best. I moved my locker
great
next to him.
Right?
I was like, Matt, can I please be next to you all year? He goes, don't. And I said, you got to give me more, man. And he goes, we play him in a month. They'll forget about it. Drill him when he get back to Toronto. And I was like, well, you're a genius, dude.
That's awesome. And you know what's great about baseball is you can't do that really in any other sport.
No, you can't. Yeah, you can take some cheap shots in football or something, maybe trip them. But
hockey.
Yeah, hockey you can.
McSorley.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you can get retaliation later. But in baseball, it like lingers forever. Like, guys, don't forget.
Well, they should just, like I said, Major League Baseball, step out of the way. We have rules, man. It is what it is. Let me drill him his next at bat. It's over. We're not even going to fight. And then there's nothing I can do past that.
So you brought up the Machado Pedroia incident.
That was terrible. Boston handled that so wrong. No baseball IQ in Boston at all. None.
And by the way, I think Pedroia almost called out his own team saying,
he completely did.
I wouldn't have done that. I would have hit you earlier when he said, ran the dugout.
That wasn't me. That
right.
was them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Because as you know, the next pitch, the next at bat for Machado, they would have plunked him then.
Can we
not
just say
wait.
This? I'm not favoring Baltimore at all. That's my son's team, not mine. That was a clean slide. As clean as they get, especially with our rules, say how they change it.
First of all, let's just talk about the rules. They're horrible.
The rule's brutal.
Okay, but Pedroia was away. He caught him on the back of the calf.
He
wasn't a
dirty
slide.
He was through the base. He's trying to stop a slide. Pedroia's 5'2". A breath of wind hurts him. And
easy. MVP.
Yeah, that was a gift. And wow. Once again, it was a clean slide to me. Boston threw it in for no reason. Then they take how many shots? You're going to take a one guy throwing 97.
I agree.
And then Chris Sale in Boston gets to fire at him again.
And not only that,
come on,
where
Chris.
They're throwing the ball, I didn't think was cool either.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can't be going
you
high like
Barnes
that.
Barnes and whoever else take shots at him. This is ridiculous.
So I love this banter because the American League East to me is always the best baseball.
Always.
Right? And
to
you
me,
play
it is.
For every AL East team except for
Boston. Yeah.
So you must just hate the Red Sox.
I hated going to Boston.
What was it like playing at Fenway? I grew up there. I went to high school there.
The stadium's actually kind of neat. The stands are tough because the walkways are really, really narrow and uneven because the stadium's so old. So it cannot be a comfortable place to sit. But there's certain areas that the view's pretty cool, but I could do without it. I mean, the clubhouse and the stair tunnel and everything, it's old, there's water leaking, it's old, there's nowhere to sit.
It's a garbage can that's been given a facelift.
Yeah.
I get that, right?
The exterior's
beautiful.
Do
you feel like the fans are on top of you because it's so close?
They are, but so a lot of the old stadiums are. I mean, New York's like that, too. There's no foul territory. The fans
not
are
anymore, though.
And Chicago's kind of like that. Now the new stadium's slightly different.
Yeah. You pitch in the old one or the new one?
When I was with the Yankees, the new one, pitched against them in the old one.
So my question is, that was their last championship year, correct?
Yeah.
Do you have a ring?
I do have a ring. Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks,
that's awesome.
Man. Good. Yeah, I got one of those things hiding somewhere.
I was working in the Bronx when the new stadium opened. I was there that whole year. To me, as a baseball fan, even though I'm not a Yankees fan, the stadium didn't have the same feel as the old stadium did.
How can you really replicate history? For us, at least for me, on field, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But then you go behind the scenes, you go on the walkway, and you're like, oh, my God, this is absolutely amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
The Jumbotron.
They tried to put the field exactly the same, and they did a really good job with that, I thought.
You must have had a lot of fun in New York that year.
Is my wife listening?
No, she's not. Don't listen.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to play. I mean, how many opportunities you get to live in New York City and Manhattan? What a cool place to be, you know?
And get paid to have the day off.
Yeah, they did pay us, too. They really did.
Now, I asked you earlier, did you ever get to hang out like anywhere cool in the Bronx, like some of the old neighborhoods or like Arthur Avenue or?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we're at the field by noon every day, and then, you know, you might go out and get some beers and check out some spots at night, but past that, no. I mean, obviously, the park, but that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
And obviously the area around Yankee Stadium was actually pretty cool, too.
It is pretty cool. I like taking the subway. I really did. We took the car
in
a lot.
The old number 4?
I love I love taking the subway. I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more fun. Talk about playing in Baltimore, man. Camden Yards, you had some pretty cool teammates. Baltimore's
a
really fun city for baseball.
I got lucky with some of my teammates. It really is. You know what's crazy is I'll still go back today to maybe like do some like autographs or even go watch a Ravens game. How about this? And the same people work the stadium that used to be there when I get there, or they work both stadiums, the football and baseball, and they'll remember you. And that's how great Baltimore is. I think it's such a great family
atmosphere.
Here
you are 10 years later, and they're like, hey, Josh, what's up?
15 years
later. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think I left there in 02.
Camden is such a cool park to play in, though, right?
It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing about it is cool, and they keep doing good things to, like, make it a fun place to actually go watch baseball. They just got to put a good product on the field. That's it.
Well, they have a good product. They just can't seem to get their pitching down. I mean, they got off to a rough start this year, obviously, 0-7, whatever they were, but they're sort of fighting their way back. Speaking of the division standings, I mean, the Red Sox and Yankees are now tied for first in the division. How much fun is it, or as a baseball pro, watching this young Yankee team with some of these hitters they have, Sanchez and Judge and Hicks, and what are your thoughts on the team?
I think that the Cubs, even though I hate the Cubs more than anything and I want them to lose.
Hey.
I think you see.
What the heck?
Right? I can't stand it.
I said heck.
What is this?
You want to know what it is?
Hatred for the Cubs.
It's two
comes
things.
From.
It's one, all of a sudden everybody's a Cubs fan who never even watched the Cubs before.
True.
And two, the collusion between Major League Baseball, or between Joe Maddon and the Yankees and getting that job, to Tampa Bay Rays. He opts out of his contract, has something in place. Major League Baseball knows. They turn a blind eye because it's good for baseball. He signs all that money.
Theo's very good at what he does.
In. Yeah, they all are. But Major League Baseball knew and turned a blind eye, and I think that's shady. You're telling me
that's
it's
an
okay
interesting
because,
take on it.
Because they're bringing money into the game, and I didn't agree with that.
All right, well, we're going to take another commercial break and come back and argue some more. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay right where you is. Jagger, a little Rolling Stones, a little Hot Stuff on a Monday, 115 degrees out here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop. I am Jonathan Scott. If you're anywhere near a computer, check us out on Facebook, either at hashtag Vegas Nonstop or at my name, at Jonathan Scott, L-V, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Scott, L-V. Again, shout out if you're thinking about new windows because your windows are shattered and cracked and it's just too darn hot. Visit Windows Plus for new windows and glass doors. Insulate your home or business. Save money on energy. Windows Plus, newest technology, make your home cleaner, quieter, and look fantastic. Free estimate, stop by their showroom at 5225 South Valley View, the corner of Alibaba and South Valley View, just south of Tropicana. Give them a call, 702-450-2275, 450-2275. Original Papaya King, mentioned Vegas Nonstop. Get two hot dogs. That's two hot dogs for the price of one. The original Papaya King across from the Hard Rock Hotel and in the Hawaiian Market Village. Month of June, the Metropolitan Gallery of Las Vegas Art at Neonopolis has a very cool exhibit of the art of Cirque du Soleil employees. That's Wednesdays through Saturdays, noon to 5. Chef Benny Velasquez. I always mess up Velasquez. Is that how you're saying it?
It's Velasquez.
Velasquez, that's probably why. At Couscous Cafe at Neonopolis, getting great reviews for his delicious Mediterranean menu. Adding a signature Latin style to lamb gyro tacos. It's not gyro either, it's Eidos. Eidos tacos, falafel bites, wraps, and kebabs. I had the wraps, and the wraps are just amazing. Also, check out the new Nerd Nightclub at Neonopolis, offering Comic-Con type costumes and free bowling. Have you guys talked to anybody that went to EDC?
Yeah, a few people.
Yes.
Yeah, did you? I mean, it's like a record number of people that went to the hospital, understandably
the heat,
so.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And nobody died, unfortunately.
One did on Friday.
One died?
Oh, really?
Oh, one death at EDC, probably from the music,
Listen,
I would think.
400,000 people up at the raceway, 110 degrees, and you had one fatality. That's a good weekend.
There was more dead in Chicago, I'm sure, but not from the heat.
There was more dead in downtown Las Vegas this weekend.
Josh Towers, after becoming a free agent, signed with minor league contract with the Washington Nationals. You were a commentator for the Rebels for a little while, and then you were coaching at a school for a little while. You know, what are you doing now?
Wow.
Let's bring it up to... Yeah, we got to change your Wikipedia. Wikipedia is never right.
I told you, you can go in there and edit whatever you want. We should make it look good, huh?
Yeah.
Have fun with it.
He's a circus clown.
Yeah.
He juggles.
A Vegas entertainer. Downtown.
He's singing with Al Bernstein.
On the weekends.
He's appearing with Al Bernstein at the Tuscany Hotel with Kenny Davidson.
He takes photos for a dollar.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. What are you doing now?
I'm a loan officer, actually. I had to get a real job. Took a little heat from the wife to get a real job. So now I'm a loan officer here in Vegas. And then, I try to stay involved in baseball. I love it. My son's getting ready to be in high school, so we got his team that we coach and have a lot of fun with.
Bonanza?
Liberty. He's going to Liberty. And then
what position?
He's left-handed, so.
Wow. Relief pitcher?
If he's a relief pitcher, we need to quit. Yeah. Unless he's he loves the closer from the Orioles, so he could be Britton, I guess, but past that.
Oh, Zach Britton. Is he back? Is he past the injuries?
He's not back yet, no.
Speaking of closers, how about Kimbrel from the Red Sox? That guy's throwing some smoke this year.
Yeah, so I finally watched almost a complete baseball game last night, which is probably something I should not have
without
done.
Without sleeping?
Oh, my God.
Boston and Houston?
I didn't know that he only gave up 8 hits before last night on the season,
yeah,
which is absolutely insane. Yeah. And then I've the worst home plate umpire of all time last night. I've never seen an umpire miss so
with
many
calls
in one game. Was it plus 30 that he missed?
It was out of control. And the fact that only one player was ejected was beyond me because it should have been
Even really argue. He kind of kicked his helmet. I get it, but he wasn't looking at him, so I guess you can't do that. But at that point, everybody should have been ejected because that was the worst officiating or umpiring of all time.
I couldn't.
He missed more calls in one game than I think those guys do all year, if you want to know the truth.
I totally agree with you. I thought the calls were terrible. A few guys were thrown at in the game and plunked last night. There was a lot of going on back and forth.
I think what happened is Pedroia made a stink because he got hit. They got hit back-to-back.
Correct.
And both of them were like just elbow drop, little spinning stuff, nothing crazy.
Pedroia's point was, what is it going to take for you to make some warnings and throw someone out of the game.
Let's go back to this. Here's what he doesn't understand is we actually want to pitch to him because to me he's a free out. We're not afraid to pitch to you. You're not a guy that gets in a box and we're like, oh my God, Pedroia's up. So what he's crying about is I think he needs to take a look at a mirror and respect where he's at and just appreciate the game of baseball and stop being a whiner.
I'm hearing a lot of anti-Pedroia banter going on here. This is a lifetime 300 hitter.
He's in the league, the bigger baby he becomes. I'm like, dude, what is your animosity with the game and why do you think you're God's gift?
You think he's an easy out?
I thought you throw four-seamers away and he flies out the right field all the time. He cannot hit a home run right field. So what's my fear? Don't miss over the plate because he'll buggy whip it and
pull it.
Right, that's it. So if you locate away, to me, he was a free out.
Bobby, you going to help me out here or what?
Did you ever throw a spitter? Were you ever a spitball pitcher?
I'm not going to say his name because he's still in baseball somewhere. My AA pitching coach taught me how to put Vaseline on my belt so you can't see it.
And nice.
Wait, he used to throw it where you don't do anything. It just kind of... I don't know. It just
almost knuckles off your hand.
It just squeezes out of your fingers, and I was so nervous. He tried to get me to throw this in games in AA, and I was like, this is what we should be doing right now?
I met Gaylord Perry at at the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was a great guy. Just a phenomenal guy to hang around with. We hung around with him. He really kind of adopted my son that whole weekend took him to every signing. And Cooperstown, if you're a baseball fan, you have to go to Cooperstown.
That's what I was saying. All of our buddies are there right now. They have a 12-U tournament every year that everybody in the country
goes
to. Yeah, they have it out there. And it's really fun for the kids because the fields are small. They drop bombs, and then they all go to the Hall of Fame. Like, my son's team went last year, and we're good friends with Frank Thomas. So they got to go to the Hall of Fame.
The Big Hurt.
The Big Hurt. They took photos with his plaque.
Does he still have his beer? He had Big Hurt. He had Frank. He had his own beer.
He lives here
between here and Chicago.
He bounces, I think, LA as well. They do a lot of stuff out of Fox, out of LA.
Great guy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, so the kids went with Frank to...
No, he didn't go, but they went to the Hall of Fame, and they found his plaque or taking photos and sending it back to himself. It's just really neat, you know?
So, Josh, is it fair to say that, like, some of this Vaseline and the belt stuff is still happening today?
It's hard, to be honest with you. I don't know why you'd want to. It was hard and nervous, afraid you're going to get caught. I think I did it for about a game, and I was like, I don't know about this. I don't think so. I mean... There's only so much we can do as pitchers. All we want to do is be able to grip the ball. And a lot of times, the ball's so slippery.
With the rosin?
It's not enough. The rosin's such a weird feel. I didn't even like using rosin. So, I mean, I just want a little bit of, like, sticky, a little pine tar, something. I'm not asking for it to gob my hands because you can't throw with that either. I just need to grip the ball. And you know, they kind of go overboard as if we're trying to create all these different things. And one of my buddies who played in the major leagues goes, you know, they get to use pine tar on the bat. Why can't we use it on the ball?
It's a good point.
And I think it's a good point, too, because all they're trying to do is grip the bat so it doesn't fly out of their hands. And all I want to do is not let the ball slip out of my hands. When I go to throw something, I just want it to be true. Past that, it's really hard to do anything like that, like the old school stuff. It's really hard.
I would imagine.
When my son was a little guy and he was playing, they used the aluminum bats, and I was like, well, why did they do that? Why didn't they let him play with wood bats? You know, I was just
at what age?
Oh, you know, 12, 13.
Yeah. Here's my take on it: if you don't ever have to use a wood bat, don't.
Why is that?
Because there's a bigger sweet spot on metal, and you're going to get a lot more hits. The sweet spot on the barrels are pretty much the same. But on wood, there's it's either sweet spot or it's not. I'm going to eat it at the end, and you're going to break it. It's going to go nowhere. I'm going to jam you. It's going to break. It's going to go nowhere. But on barrels, metal, you're going to be able to bloop some stuff in. Balls and go a little bit further more often. I don't think a kid should ever use wood. I don't see the point, especially when they're just learning their swing.
What about the danger factor of the ball coming off at a much higher rate of speed or anything like that?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, we played with it all through college, man. I never really saw. You're going to get hit every now and again. It is what it is. You're 60 feet away or whatnot. But I just think the major leagues, they're so good that if they use metal, somebody would get hurt. You know,
in the major leagues,
third
for
baseman's
sure.
Third baseman's going to, you know,
I think we're talking like the younger kids, you know, maybe starting with wood. And I don't
it's
know.
Just, it's a tougher swing.
Now, what do you think about the new rules this year with the electronic, calling?
It hasn't been implemented yet.
What is it?
So Eric Byrne from MLB and the former player. He's
great, by the way.
I think he's amazing.
Tons of energy.
I love the guy. And he did a simulated game where he was the umpire behind the plate with the earpiece in his ear where they were calling balls and strikes. And he called a perfect game. And there was no...
According to what? The square they put on TV?
No, and that's why. That square is horrible.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
It's the same square
you and I were talking about last night's game.
Is it over home plate or is it back by the hitter? Where is it at?
Not only that, if you're Aaron Judge and you're 6'8 versus Jose Altuve and you're 5'4...
A little bit different strike zone.
You can't have the same strike zone.
It's impossible.
Exactly. So they called it a simulated game with the digital in his ear, and they called a perfect game. And how do you feel about that?
Did they get all the curveballs right? Because that's the hardest pitch to call for strikes.
Of course it is.
I've been saying this, where
it crosses the plate.
I've been saying this for a long time. Eventually they're going to get rid of umpires because they don't need them.
No, you still have the body back there.
So they're starting to speed up the game in so many ways, but then they're adding all these replays and rules in. And now this. At this point, what do you need an umpire for? We have all the stuff. We had Questech years ago. We had this square thingy on TV. We got now this that they're even messing around with. We call timeout on every play no matter what, and usually I'm right because I get the video right here, so I get another one. So they're endless how many I get. I don't need an umpire no more. I do not need an umpire. And I think the purity of what I always say it too, like the true purity of Vegas, man, is gets ruined with this paying for valet and starting to issue
terrible.
When you can get a drink. What happened to Vegas? But it's the same thing in baseball. Like, what is an umpire's job? He's undivided. He has no sides. He's an innocent bystander, just calling the game right down the middle.
That hasn't.
And now they're
been
taking that away from us. So now it's like, what's the point?
Well, I were just talking about last night's game. Look how terrible that was.
You know what you do with a guy like that?
Suspend him?
Yeah, you fine him or suspend him, but you let us see it. Because to us, they never, ever get in trouble because we don't ever see what they talk to.
You're talking about the players.
I'm talking about when Major League Baseball needs to go talk to that umpire. And how he handled, how bad he did the job, we need to know what happened. But we don't ever get to see that. To us, they don't ever, as players, as fans.
Right, they walk on water. We never hear anything.
We never hear it. So we don't know if it's ever been talked about or if it's just, it is what it is. And now we show up today, and I can't even look him in the face because of how bad he was last night.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it could cause another problem, you know, because I'm pissed off. I'm playing third base or whatever, and he might be there, and I don't even – stop talking, man. I don't even want to talk to you right now. And all of a sudden, he's going to fire back, and then we're going to – and I'm going to get ejected.
Right.
Because of last night.
Right.
Now, aside from the A-Rod thing, what game stands out in your mind as one of your favorite games in the bigs?
Clinching the World Series?
Wow, I was sitting on my couch for that.
Watching the World Series?
Don't say that.
I've had a couple moments Cal Ripken's farewell tour was kind of cool. The last day in Baltimore.
Did your parents get to see you play?
They did. They traveled minor leagues a lot, and they went to a lot of big league stuff too. They loved my dad's a big fan. My mom loved it. That was fun to get that. Pitching against Baltimore, one of my first times ever back when I went to Toronto. I threw a shutout, and Alex Rios, my good buddy, I forgot who was running, but he threw him out at home to end the game. So you know, just moments like that that are kind of neat.
You start mentioning these players, I forget all the great. Unbelievable players you've played with.
Delgado. Delgado's one of the best. Yeah.
Jeter.
That whole team. Posada. Posada, Pettit.
Mariano.
Hideki Matsui. We had Teixeira and Johnny Damon, one of the greatest of all time.
Johnny Damon?
Had Swisher and...
I'm sorry, did you say Johnny Damon's one of the greatest of all
greatest
time?
Greatest people of all time. Greatest dudes you'll ever meet on the planet, I'm telling you. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So where do you see the future of the game?
Well, it's good and bad. I think we're finally getting past what we called the steroid era. Everybody thinks
they're
that everybody was on steroids, and that wasn't the reality, but a lot of them took it, so it is what it is. And then we're starting to get some bright stars. I mean, this Mike Trout kid, I don't know if you guys heard of him.
Was he related to Steve Trout?
I hope not.
He's a little injured right now.
Injured for the Cubs?
But he's pretty good.
He's unreal. He's unreal. And then Chris Bryant, obviously we know a lot about him.
Two
Chris
locals, Bryant and Harper.
And I like Bryce a lot because he's willing to make adjustments at a young age where a lot of us don't even know what we're doing yet. And he's saving his money until he really gets paid. And like he has a great head on his shoulders. And I like that about these kids. I think that's why they're so good at a young age. So we're seeing some talent. I love the Altuve story. I mean,
right.
Once again, talking about, you know, bashing Pedroia, but you talk about a guy who's like, I'll show you. And Pedroia done the same thing. As much as I don't like him, he's always fought and said, listen, I'll show you how good I am. Watch this. So we have some stars. I like Dallas Keuchel, and I think the game's going in a good direction. But we got lost for a while. We really did, man. Turn of the century, the early 2000s, we were sending kids straight from the draft to big league camp, and they weren't earning anything, and the respect for the game was lost.
Let me ask you a question, only because we don't often talk about this. You just brought up the steroid era. How did that affect pitchers, and what was going on with pitchers as it relates to steroids real quickly?
You know, once again, I think the list came out that 125 people in 03 took it. So right. Out of 600-something players, I mean, a sixth of us. So pitchers were taking it. Hitters were taking it. It is what it is. You make a mistake, it went in the stands. If you didn't make a mistake, they were out. It's the reality of it. Who cares? I actually wish that we would have stayed off it and everybody could take it, because did anybody care when everybody was hitting home runs and winning 24 games?
Sosa and McGuire kept it going better than ever.
Yeah.
I saw a comic over the weekend, Matt Iceman, who won Celebrity Apprentice, who was the host of American Ninja Warriors. He was fantastic as a stand-up comic. And he talked about steroids. Don't we want them to take steroids and be great? Anyway, we're out of time. So I gotta thank you for coming in, Josh.
Thank you,
great to meet you.
Awesome.
We met an MV Steak.
MV
we got to have more dinners, MV Steakout. Shout out to our friend Bill Gursky.
Oh, Big Bill.
Jim Gursky. I'm sorry, Big Jim. And everybody over there. And I want to thank Al Bernstein for joining us on the show today. Make sure to catch us on Friday on our video podcast at hashtag Vegas Nonstop, Friday at noon, our lunch show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for joining. If you see us outside, please say hello, buy us some drinks, eat well, and party hard. Stay cool.
Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, because there are no reasons. What reason do you